This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
It's been a year, and here is the first episode of 2024. Good morning, Bob.
Well, good morning, Igor.
So, it's been a while. What is on your mind?
Well, first I want to talk about, it was a gentle winter, really.
I only had to shuffle my driveway, I think, twice.
Yeah, that's about it. And it really wasn't that all extremely cold. And it's showing its effects in nature for guys like us. We're seeing a lot of blossoms. The plants had an easier time this winter. All the buds that were on trees and shrubs and other plants were able to make it through the winter. So it's a good year to drive around a little bit and look, especially for me, the crab apples.
Mm.
Oh my gosh, there's just so many blossoms on the crab apples, but other plants too, the shad bush, the forsythia, a lot of those spring bloomers just doing extremely well this year. So enjoy it because, it doesn't happen every year here. Sometimes we have a hard winter and not so many blooms. But this year, just real, real great for all that. And as a gardener, or anybody that has a home, one of the first things you got to think about is your lawn. So you've got to get started on that. And it's a great time to do a little spot seeding early in the spring because we have cool temperatures. It's damp out, so that makes it all real well for the seeds to germinate quickly. Most grass seeds are going to take, 2 to 3, maybe even 4 weeks to germinate. So before you spot seed, it may be a good idea to mow your lawn down a little short so that you can stay off your lawn for a couple weeks, if possible. In order to do that, we may have to cut it high and then lower your lawn mower and cut it the second time. You don't have to do it all in one day. You can cut it down a bit here today. Wait a couple days, lower your mower, and get it cut real short so that you can spread some seeds and then leave those seeds go for a couple weeks before you start mowing again. And don't worry if your grass gets a little bit high. You can take care of it as long as your mower's in good operation, the blade is sharp. You just raise it up, give it a cut, wait a few days, maybe even a week, and then lower your mower a little bit and then cut again, and you'll get back on track with no problem at all. So don't get too hung up on cutting your grass this time of year.
Well, and the thing is, a couple of years ago, I learned from you that the trick to a kind of a more lush green looking lawn is having it a little longer anyway.
Yeah, it is.
You taught me. I was cutting mine a little too low.
Yeah, really. Ideally, grass in this part of the country is better off about 2 inches, around in there. 2 inches, 2.5 inches. Some people even suggest up to 3 inches tall. You don't want to cut it lower than that. And the reason is, just like any plant, that leaf blade is what's doing all the photosynthesis. So the more leaf blade we can leave on the grass plant, the more photosynthesis will occur, and the healthier that grass will become. So keep that in mind. That's real important. I know some people like to cut their lawn real short and with a lot of success. But I prefer to let it grow a bit longer. And another big reason for a longer, taller grass is it throws a lot of shade on the ground where those weed seeds are waiting for some sun.
Ah.
So if you cut your lawn real short, you've exposed it to a lot of sunlight. those weed seeds have a good chance to germinate and take over.
So short grass encourages weeds.
It does indeed, yeah. Okay. Taller grass will stop a lot of those weed seeds from germinating. And then hopefully they'll sit there and rot away instead of germinating and becoming a problem.
If you are listening live right now, Sunday, May 4th, hey, it's Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you.
All right.
Yeah. So if you are listening, we are live and we are taking your phone calls. So if you have any questions about your gardening or anything really that's growing alive outside, your trees, whatever you got, 368-WESB, 814-368-9372. And it doesn't even have to be what we're talking about at that moment. You know, you just call in and we'll take care of whatever question you might have.
You bet. Yeah.
What
I love the call-ins.
Yeah, I know.
Another thing's becoming more and more popular is letting a few weeds grow in your yard. And first I'll mention the dandelion. We all see them every year. You know, actually, when you really start looking at a dandelion, it is quite pretty, that bright yellow. Nothing shows up better in the spring than that bright yellow. And they really don't do any damage. They don't attract ticks. They don't attract other pests. They're not going to really kill off large patches of your lawn. So sometimes it's better to be a little tolerant. And the fascinating thing about dandelions, when I was a little kid, and still some people practice it, every spring my mom would go out and pull a bunch of dandelion weeds, and we'd have to have our dandelion salad there in the spring, you know, as a thing to keep better health, you know. But the dandelion has several ways of reproducing. We've all seen that big puffball of seeds, and how it can produce them is, of course, being pollinated. Now, it can be pollinated by the bees, which is a good thing. We want to encourage and help the bee population. But it also can be pollinated by the wind. We always get wind in the spring. Lastly, it can pollinate itself, that if no bee seems to come around and not the right kind of dry wind comes around, the dandelion does have a way of transferring the pollen to the rest of the plant so it can produce that seed. And it can even just multiply underground by dividing the root. So it's a fascinating plant in that respect. Not too many plants have that ability to reproduce several different ways. I think that's enough about dandelions, huh?
Well, but, I don't know. Tis the season. So one thing I'm always concerned about is mowing the lawn when, you know, through the dandelions. Like, okay, am I spreading them all around the yard?
Oh.
When they're in their yellow form?
When they're in a yellow form, no.
Okay, good.
No.
Okay.
Not until that big puffball occurs.
I'm glad I asked.
Yeah.
Every time I go through a patch of dandelions, I'm like, oh, here we go. Making my problem 20 times worse now.
No.
Oh, good.
So, to help support nature, the bees, and other pollinators, you know, it's really not a bad thing to let a few dandelions grow. And other weeds, too. Other weeds. Mm. Really, they can be quite beautiful. When I was a young kid, it was extreme. I talk about that a lot.
When I was a boy back in the
1780s. Yeah, back in the day, it was popular when you bought grass seed that about 20% of it was clover.
Mm.
And that helped support the bees. And, of course, clover just stays green all the time, so your lawn looked nicer all the time, too. So that's another one, too. You know, I used to try to fight off all the dandelions, all the clover, but I've learned over the years, you know, that they're not such a bad thing. Oh, one more fascinating thing.
Unless you have, like, little kids running around the yard with bare feet.
You don't want
bees in there.
You don't want bees.
That's the only thing. Or dogs. You know?
Or dogs, yeah. But that really happens so seldom. They may get stung once. Probably not going to get stung at all, you know. But yeah, that is something to think about.
And for those of us that aren't allergic, we kind of forget how minor.
Oh, okay,
a bee sting is. It's not
That's
like
true.
A, it's not like a wasp.
That's true. Yeah,
it's not like a wasp. It's.
One more fascinating fact about the dandelion. You know, when if you do let them grow in your yard, and you'll notice they get quite tall, that flower stem, and then after you mow it down, then that flower stem will remain short. Somehow, the dandelion is protecting itself instead of putting up that real long stem that will catch the wind easier. They'll stay short to protect getting cut off again. So, of course, then people say, well, I'll just lower my mower lower and lower. Well, you're probably defeating the purpose, you know, because then you're starting to expose that ground to more sunlight and able to let more weeds germinate that way.
There you go.
So think about all those things when you're cutting your lawn. And again, this is an excellent time to patch those bald spots if you need to. Now, if they're from a pet, it's a good idea maybe to get some gypsum and spread in that area. That will counteract the acids in the pet urine. And that'll help that grass come back there a lot quicker. So that's one idea for the pet owners.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, gypsum. It's not lime, but it acts a whole lot like lime. Gypsum. That also can help out those people that have maybe spread a lot of salt through the winter on their walkways or driveway edges. A little gypsum in that area helps counteract that salt. What really happens is that gypsum contacts the salt in the urine or the salt from the winter, and it drags it down deeper out of the root zone. So then the plant is better protected that way.
Hmm. Fascinating.
Used to have to spread a lot of gypsum out at Pitt when I was working out there.
Oh.
Because we had to use a lot of salt.
Oh, yeah. And does that also help with, when people walk on the grass a lot
to
make bald patches?
Yeah, it
there,
can. Or? It can. Because it can also loosen the soil from walking on the grass a lot. Can compact the soil.
Because that's the problem I have, too. I have an area that we walk in a lot.
Okay.
And it's just getting, the grass is not growing and the ground's really compact.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So gypsum can help that. It's known that it can help loosen the soil through an electronic process that it does, pushing soil particles apart.
Neat.
It lets more air into the ground, and you've probably heard me before, but I'll mention it several times. You know, plants need air as much as they need water, so that air is real important. But there are other ways too. You know, how you can aerate your lawn. Some people like to wear golf spikes, walk around their lawn.
Okay.
And those little holes can put in a lot of air. There are aerators. That stab little holes into the ground.
That's right, like one of those garden weasel type things.
Yeah, you can do a hand one like the garden weasel, or there's ones that you can pull behind your lawnmower that will poke a lot of holes in. Very, very beneficial. And then there's even what we call a plugger. It puts a big spike that's hollow into the ground, and that pulls out a core of the soil. So it lets a lot of air in there. And then, of course, when it does rain, lets moisture get into the deeper part for better root growth, deeper root growth.
Very good. Hey, can we take a break?
You bet.
Before we get into the next topic, and of course, we're waiting for your phone calls, too. If you have any questions, give us a call, 814-368-9372. And we'll be right back with more Gardening Show right here on B107.5 FM. And we're on Facebook Live, too. You can check us there.
Spring has sprung. Time to get your gardening underway with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. Start with their big selection of garden seeds and fertilizers to grow all your favorite vegetables and flowers. Build attractive planting beds and landscape edging with railroad ties from Worth Smith. Dress it up with the popular black pearl mulch and add bags of landscape stone and pavers to finish it off. You'll be the envy of your neighborhood. It's time to get started. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show on WESB, B107.5 FM and AM 1490. And Bob Harris is with us once again, and we were talking about making our lawn a little bit more beautiful and getting ready for the spring and all the new growth and everything. And what else is on the agenda today?
Yeah, over the winter, I got to read quite a few gardening books, horticultural books, botany books, and I'm going to mention some of those things through the season here. But one kind of fascinated me, and the book was written by a Native American, and her look at how nature is, which is, and she did go to college and become a botanist, but kept her old ways of how she looked at nature. And one thing that always fascinated her and fascinates a lot of the rest of us too is in the late summer in fields you see goldenrod blooming, and there's usually purple asters blooming right beside it.
Right.
And she wanted to know why these two always
coexist, right?
Yeah, coexist. Yeah. And coexist very, very well. And it has a lot to do with the bees.
Okay.
They see color a little different than we do. They have a ultraviolet way of seeing things. And so those colors show up more ultravioletly. Wow, I was able to say that.
Ultravioletly, yeah.
for the bees than they do us humans, although we like that purple and yellow together too. And if you look at a color wheel, you'll see why they're complementary colors. Mm. They always draw your eye. But to the bee, they really draw their eye. So the bees are always attracted to that area. So they get a little extra pollination that way. So it's a fascinating thing. And something she would have never learned in her botany course. And they would have never talked about why are bees attracted to certain colors, and why does a goldenrod always grow right with the aster? They make good partners, and they like the same conditions. They like nice, rich, deep, damp soil. So that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about. I'm also going to be talking a lot about Darwin. You know, he didn't just write about the origin of species. He did 6 books on just botany. Even though he wasn't a botanist and never claimed to be a botanist.
But he made a lot of observations.
He made a lot of observations. He was kind of amazing on how he could observe. He even spent at one time watching a vine grow for 54 hours straight.
I wish I had that kind of free time. It was different back then, I think. There was no internet or TV, so.
Well, he just such an inquisitive mind. Yeah. He really wanted to know
how things work, right?
Yeah. And how things work. And like I said, he wasn't a botanist, wasn't trained as a botanist, but he wrote 6 books on it, more than he wrote on the origin of species. And many of the world-famous botanists said he was a botanist, probably better than most of them, even though he was not trained and said he was not. So, you know, there's hope for all of us.
Well, he didn't have the traditional credentials, let's just say.
Yes.
So, right. But, I mean, if you observe enough and you do enough studying, I mean, you can have the skill of anything if you...
Yeah, yeah.
If you put the time in.
That's right. Put the time in and have the interest. Other things you may want to think about, you know, some of us have allergy problems.
Yeah.
And, right now is a big allergy season. A lot of the wind pollinated plants are, blooming right now. And of course, some of the real famous ones are grass and the oak trees, and that pollen floats around, and of course, we breathe it in, and our allergies start now. I would suggest, you know, that since COVID, we learned that if you wear a mask, you're well protected.
Oh.
And so it's not a bad idea if you got to go out there and cut the lawn or do a little weeding or trimming, that maybe you're one of those people that should wear that COVID mask.
Oh, no.
It would help a lot.
Yeah, well, I have just a little bit of a runny nose now, I'm finding out. I didn't used to get it like that.
Oh.
My eyes used to itch.
Itch, yeah. Yeah.
So is that the same, like if you have itchy eyes, I always assumed that it was going in through the eyeballs, like my eyes were taking in the pollen or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Does that go in through the nose and then make your eyes water, I wonder?
Yeah, I believe so. Now,
you're not a medical.
Yeah.
You're a botanist.
But I believe so, yes. Right. But there are many plants that don't produce pollen that is wind-borne. And you can, when you're at the garden center, you can really research it and decide, you know, what kind of plants, if you have bad allergies, that you could grow. Now you have no choice about the lawn and the oak trees in our forest and so on. And but you can lessen it. Of course, they'll be over pretty soon, and then the pine pollen will begin.
Oh, yeah. And then I get the coughing.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Yeah. Oh, I got the different thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's a little bit of a runny nose. Then I'll have the pine season will give me the coughs.
Yeah. We live in the forest. But like I said, there's ways to help yourself there. You know, there are nasal sprays and the COVID mask. And so anybody can get out there and enjoy and do the duties they have to do out there in the yard. And so keep all that in mind. What else do we want to talk
about? Well, we have about 5 minutes left in the show, 6 minutes left. So,
okay.
We're still taking phone calls. If you're out there and you have a question about your lawn or maybe what you'd like to plant this year, what would work best in our area, or even, you know, maybe a part of your lawn better than another part.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you have more success with the plant, you know, closer to the driveway than closer to the house, or how far away from the house you want to plant things. Give us a call. He knows all. We. by we, I mean Bob, will have the correct answer for you. 368-9372.
It's a good idea to get out there to the greenhouses and plant centers and just start looking around so you can start getting your ideas on what to plant. It's a little early to plant any annual or vegetable, but it's prime time to plant trees, shrubs, and perennials. It's a good idea to do those now. But those annuals and vegetables, try to hold off a bit. I took a test of my soil at home. It's ranging. This is in a full sun area, so it'll be the warmest part of my yard. It was still 60 degrees. That's a little bit cold for those annuals and vegetables. And now, of course, if you have a little bit of shade cast in that area, it's probably even going to be a bit colder there. And also, depending on your soil type, some soils, the sandy loams, they heat up quicker. You get into the clay soils, which a lot of us have. It takes quite a bit longer for them to warm up. So keep that in mind. You know, go out there and just do some window shopping, get some ideas, see what's available. Also, a good idea still, you know, to pick up that garden supplies, because through COVID we learned If you need the supplies, you better get it so early, because it'll probably be gone by the time that you're ready to use it. So get out there early, do some window shopping, pick up some supplies, and you'll be in good shape then for the rest of the season.
You know, I just realized that we haven't given out the email address yet today.
Yeah.
We do have email, garden@wesb.com. If you are a little bashful and you don't want to be on the radio, definitely understand that. So garden@wesb.com. Somebody sent a message actually a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Wendy wants to know if, she's trying to find a gardener or landscape architect in the area to design for my home area. Any information?
Yeah.
I don't really want to recommend one business over another, but maybe if you have like a handful of, or, you know, maybe where she should go to learn more about.
Okay, yeah. There are some landscape architects at Graham's Greenhouse. You can get a hold of a master gardener. You can just look that up. I had the...
We'll probably just do a Google search, Master Gardeners,
yes,
Bradford,
yeah.
PA, and it'll come
a
up.
A lot of those guys, I'm one of them, you know, are more than happy to come and give you some advice.
Are they all in Bradford or just like the surrounding areas?
Surrounding area,
the region.
Yeah. We have a lot of Master Gardeners in Kane and Smithport and Bradford and all the surrounding areas. There's plenty of advice available. And I'll be talking about that maybe next week. You know, sometimes the information you get off Google,
yeah,
isn't real good.
Right. Yeah. A lot of it's also paid ads that you don't realize. They pay to have that search result come up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that a lot of that advice is coming from an area that's a little different from Bradford.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Different areas have different techniques and different needs.
Yes.
For care.
Indeed. And you'll be surprised, you know, the more you learn, there is quite a difference between Bradford and, say, Pittsburgh or Bradford in Cleveland, Ohio.
Right.
There's a big difference in what we can grow, how we grow it, and how well it's going to perform. It's not just, we just don't have to worry about what grows here and what grows in Florida. Just that 100 miles can make a big difference.
Wow. And a lot of it probably has to do with the hills that block a lot of the sunlight, right?
Yes.
I know that has to do with, I'm missing a lot of sunlight in my yard. Like, oh, well, I guess I can't grow those over on this end of the house.
And a lot of those websites come from areas that aren't near Bradford.
Yeah.
So just be careful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying don't search it, but be careful with the information. Don't say, well, this website says such and such,
right,
so that's how I'm going
to
go.
Well, I suggested it just to look for people in the area.
Yes.
Not for, yeah. But like Wendy's point, I think, is if she's like me, I just can't have – I don't have the same – I can't visualize, you know, what would go best and what would clash.
Okay.
Or, you know, this plant might take away nutrition from this plant.
Yeah.
What coexists well. So, yeah, she, like me, probably needs a little bit of help and some guidance.
And, you know, one of my favorite ways is, and I've always suggested, is just take a sightseeing tour around Bradford.
Yeah.
See what's performing well. And then you'll have some good information right there.
Great idea. Maybe take your phone. Maybe get out of the car and take a stroll around, you know, some areas that you like the way the houses look, and snap a couple pictures of their shrubbery and or their, you know, their setup, their flowers, and use that for inspiration, right?
Exactly.
All
yep.
right. Great. Well, we are out of time with
that.
All right. But next week, yes?
Yes.
You're back?
Yep.
All right. You heard it here. He promises he's coming back. We'll hold him to it. All right. Well, thank you very much, Bob.
You're welcome, Igor.
Looking for another fun season of The Gardening Show for 2024. Can't wait. And we will be back next week. Thanks to Worth W. Smith, our sponsor. And this has been The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.